Let's do
Love
it.
Love Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh 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 oh. Oh yeah. You know, it's Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man Marvin Rowan and the crew coming to you on what to do. African American Empowerment. It's 365 days of what we do well. Let's get this thing started right now. Come on. Rock with me. Oh yeah. You know what's next? Better love. That's what we got. Oh yeah. And I will continue to say there is no better love. I repeat, no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Gotta love yourself. Welcome to Empowerment Hours, 365 days of African-American empowerment. That's right, motivation, empowerment, just for who? You, us, we, the family. That's right. It's our show. It's our empowerment. It's our empowerment hour. We're doing part two of our empowerment series on rebuilding individuals, families, and community. That's right. We have to do the job of rebuilding ourselves individually, rebuilding our families, and restoring our communities to their rightful place. So that's what we're going to do in part two today. We're going to continue the conversation, and you're welcome to join us. If you're listening live, 845-277-9250 is the number to call if you want to talk with us. But always remember this, right? It's about you. At the end of the day, it's about you. It's about your own personal development, your own personal empowerment, and it's our job to do the work of working on ourselves. And now for the mission of the NAAEA. I know y'all been waiting for this. The mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is simple. It's to ensure that the needs of the African American communities are met wherever we are. And we have to develop programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower us to be the best that we could be. Simple. That's it. How can you be the best you could be? Ask yourself that question right now. Write it down somewhere. How can I be better? Not like bull jiving, but really seriously, how can you be better at being you? How can you improve the quality of your life, the quality of your children's lives, and your descendants that you don't even see and won't ever see? How can you prepare and pave the way for them, that they could be successful once they arrive here? They will come. Yes, they will come. And if you prepare the way, then it works. So here's the agenda. It's called the peace process or the peace program or the peace concept, because we need peace. We need peace in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. So here it is. P is for politics. We need a political agenda. African Americans need a political agenda in this country. We just do. Right? Looking at politics and how they impact us, how we can use politics and a political agenda to create a platform to help us restore ourselves. We know we've been marginalized, we've been enslaved, we've been Jim Crowed, we've been lynched, we've been all of that. We know. Now we need to be repaired. We need to be restored. We need to be rejuvenated, and that's the Renaissance piece. We're going to be the Renaissance people, repairing ourselves. We're not asking anybody else to do it for us. Of course, we can always use your financial support, resources, and assistance to bring us back to where you took us from. But we need to help ourselves as well. We're not looking for a handout. We're looking for a hand up. And the hand that reaches back should be our hands to helping each other. E is economics. You need an economic agenda, an economic platform. You need money in the land of milk and honey. You just do. You do, right? We all need money, right? So if you are on the agenda where you think that you can't subsist in this land without money, you are going to have a strong, sad realization, because the lights won't go on. They can't stay on. The car note got to be paid. The mortgage got to be paid. Children got to be fed. They need clothes and shoes, and you got to give it to them. You got an economic agenda. You do. You have to have a strong economic platform where you ain't got to be robbing Peter to pay Paul and rob, begging, borrowing, and stealing. That's over with. And you don't have to sell drugs either. Get you a good economy, a community economy where we start to service each other, and guess what? It'll work. This is the part y'all don't like. athletics. You need an athletic agenda. You need a health and wellness agenda, a mental health, a physical health, an emotional health, and a spiritual health agenda, right? We need to be healthier. We need to eat healthier. You can't be chewing and snacking on everything. You can't. You got to get out and walk. You got to work out. You got to exercise. You got to have an agenda that's going to take care of your temple. Also, you need to focus on your mental health. That's right, your mental health, your mindset, your state of mind, your condition, your mental and emotional condition, right? That means your moodiness, your moods, your attitudes, your actions, and your ways. You got to examine them. And you got to get to the root of what keep moving you around. That's right. Check your attitude. Check your mindset. And if you're not at peace, then guess what? Work toward it. We need agendas to help us, right? And you're going to have to take care of your body. You got to have your physical health. You got to have a check-in and a check-out and a check-up on yourself to make sure that you're in the right place mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I'm moving on. C is culture. You need relevant cultural activities and programs that stimulate you, to help you grow, to help you stay in line, to keep you in bounds, not out of bounds, not doing any and everything that you want to do. Can't do that anymore. We have to have those agendas that keep us in line and in place, right? Morals, ethics, and values. We need them, right? We got to stop hurting each other, right? We got to stop maiming each other. We got to stop traumatizing each other. We got to learn how to love each other. So that's the love for self. And lastly, E, it's a comprehensive education, right? We need education on all levels. You got to want to learn, people. You got to want to learn. You got to want to, you got to teach your kids that reading is important. Writing is important. And then you got to teach yourself that. Being able to communicate is important, period. Right? Communication is the key to every relationship at every level on this earth. You got to educate yourself. That's the tenets of the NAAEA Empowerment Association. Join today. Become a member. You can do it, right? Go to the website, www.naaea.weebly.com, and become a member. Help us out. Man, Friday, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
That's right. You're exactly right, Stan. This is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. You know why? Because we need it. Just look around. If all of us haven't made it, then none of us have made it. We're leaving nobody behind. Nobody. Nobody. What we need, and Brother George said it, and Stan is going to follow up on it, is a collective unified consciousness. Tell us about it, Stan.
Well, I think we fail to see how good and precious life can be.
Okay.
We operate so much in doom and gloom and negativity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Causes us to tune out the big picture. When we're able to see how good, precious that life can be, it gives you a willingness to strive into the future. It gives you the foundational tenets to lay down for the next generation to build into
mm-hmm.
their future.
So true.
But if we're always walking in doom and gloom and negativity and trying to get in to fit into somebody else's reality, that's not it. No, no, no. We are unique, just like there's nobody on the face of this earth that has fingerprints like you, because you are unique. And when we have that unified consciousness, man, the sky's not even the limit for us. It's not. The brother said it right. We can literally create our state of heaven. And we have to walk in that. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to strive to see and even pray how good and precious life can be. And that gives you the opportunity to literally perpetuate happiness and joy and peace and prosperity, because things are being sustained in a sustainable way. So we got work
to do. That's so true. We got work to do.
Brother Marvin. Brother Marvin, assalamu alaikum. I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Brother Marvin, I can't hear you. I'm going to have to dial back.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I know what the problem is. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
All right. I think we fixed the problem. Call on back in, 9282. I think we got it straight. So, sometimes it's just like that, man. You're going to have difficulties when you're trying to run a show. Trust me. Get on this side and you'll see. So, let's start over again. Here we go, Brother George.
All right.
Uh-huh. Watch this. Okay. Brother George, it's the Willie Lynch Kwanzaa segment. What you got?
Yes, sir, brother. Well, once again, thank you very much for allowing me to do these two segments. And today I'm going to try to expand a little, you know, with the Kwanzaa segment and the Kwanzaa principle, and try to give some definition to what's being said. Today, I'm choosing Kujichagulia.
All right.
Determination to define ourselves. And what I think the brother meant by define ourselves is we're not Negroes. And if I say, you know, we're Moors and we were on both Africa and the Americas, then that's who we are and that's where we was at.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can define ourselves. We don't need somebody to tell us who we are. We know who we are. We're the Carthaginians. Okay, so, and then to name ourselves. Now, we don't have the traditional names that we once had when we were here, but when our people think of Shaniqua and Jay Sean, those are names that we came up with. So we were naming ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my name, original name, George, you know, my original name is Akeem, but those names are names that we came up with ourselves even after the enslavement period. Create for ourselves. I think that we've done less of that in the modern times, but when you go back to medieval times, and the Moorish and Carthaginian and Egyptian empires, you'll see that we were, that our genetic blueprint as a people is to be creative. A lot of times we show our creativity more on the athletic fields and courts, where we do phenomenal things that people just are amazed with. But that's still, that's creativity, you know. And to speak for ourselves, we don't need someone else to tell us what's wrong with us as a people or what's wrong with our children. That's
right.
Probably the main problem. We have allowed other people to tell us what's wrong with our children. Your child is learning disabled and all that. Now, here's the most creative people in the world, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a bunch of our children that have learning deficiencies. No, they don't. They don't have learning deficiencies. But I'm not going to say that it's not a very few, but the majority of our children, they've just been humiliated in the classroom by different things. Even sometimes when they were trying, they got humiliated by the teachers or humiliated by the classmates. Now they don't even want to participate. And so what I try to do is bring back that desire, you know, to let the world know who you are again. And those are the kind of things that we have to do, you know, with our young people to get, you know, to help our young people along. And we need to speak out for ourselves and let that be known that that's what needs to be done. And we don't need other people to speak for us.
You got that right.
So basically, you know, that's the essence of what Kuji Chagaliya, self-determination, means. Now, for the Willie Lynch segment, I think it kind of ties in with the overall topic for today the same way that Kuji Chagaliya did. Now, I'm reading from a book called Blueprint for Black Power that was written by Amos Wilson, and I think it probably was his finest work. He's done a lot of great books, but this one was his finest work. So your and her white children's supremacy today must be accounted for in far less than cosmological terms. For their supremacy, like the supremacy of any race, is but the ascendancy of the mundane. Like just a worldly ascendancy, that's all. And their fall from grace would be but the result of the working of mundane forces. Hence, our answers to the three questions starkly terrestrial, which is down to earth. The white man oppresses African peoples because he possesses the power to do so. The black man is oppressed because he has not developed the power to prevent his oppression. His oppression will end when the power of his oppressor is countered by his own power. More specifically, to the point, no matter how we choose to explain white oppression or global supremacy, whether cosmological or mundanely, the ultimate reason the white man does what he does is because he possesses the power to do so. The reason why the black man is victimized by white power is because he has not developed the power to prevent his victimization. Therefore, if the black man is to prevent his victimization by the white man, he must neutralize, balance, or destroy the power differential which favors his domination by the white man. The black man, the African race, must study power, its sources, its acquisition, its increase, its preservation and its application to the successful achievement of his liberation from white oppression and to enhance his autonomous quality of life. Now, that's exactly what we talk about every week on the radio show, is how do we come together to acquire the power base that we need to begin to ascend in this world again. And we seem like we haven't figured out a lot of fundamental things, because the power is in the people, the mindset of the people, having people in one mind, thinking in one direction and accomplishing one goal together at a time. There's power in that. Instead of all the time, like, if somebody comes up with an idea, oh, well, I could do that better if we do it this way or that way, and then we end up in it. And we can't seem to come together on a lot of simple, basic things. And so the white man continues to control us through our own misgivings. He controls us through our own misgivings. Because we feel like, well, white folks have such and such this amount of power, and we don't have any. Well, we have it. It's in our hands, but we just don't use it. But Brother Marvin, if you wanted to follow up, I'm open.
Okay, just a couple of quick things. You mentioned genetic blueprint. Can you speak to that just a minute, and then talk to strategies for preventing oppression, and then we're going to the lines, and the deck is packed. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Now, genetic blueprint is like a particular thing about a people, a group of people, that at least 95% of them are capable of doing. And our genetic blueprint is creativity as an African people. When you look back in history, history is what bears witness what your genetic blueprint is. And so when you look back at history, when you look at the things that have created, the systems that have been put together, the arts and the sciences that have been put together, all of those trace back to the black man and woman. We didn't need to put our names on paintings and designs and pyramids and all of that, because all of us could do it. So it wasn't something that we looked at as being so super special that I got to get credit for it. We weren't interested in things like that, because it was something that was so natural and so normal that we didn't have to do that. Now, what was the second part of the
strategy
question?
Strategy for preventing oppression, developing that power that we need that you mentioned.
Well, the strategy that I've always stuck with of late is that we have to start by teaching our really young children. We have to reach them young, 2, 3, and follow through all the way up and maintain a constant system of re-educating our people and then properly educating our young people, so that we build up that momentum in them, that by the time they hit the classroom, they're ready to learn and they're ready to participate and they're ready to be representative of our people in a proud and traditional way. And we really need to focus on that. We need to write more children's books, you know, converting some of the more complex books into more simplistic language so that they can understand it and they can begin to think those thoughts early in life. And then by the time they get to be 15 and 16, they'll be articulating those thoughts far beyond what we could do today. You know, but for right now, that's the strategy that I have. Well, as far as adults and young adults. I mean, you just can offer people information if they want it. But you can almost like a child's mind is like clay. You know, you're shaping it for the first time. And so it's easier to deal with them. But with older people, it's like if you want the information, then we're willing to give it to you and we're willing to share it to try to help change the way that you think about yourself and your people, you know. And like basically that's what my strategy is.
All right. Is that it, brother?
Yes, sir. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. We appreciate it.
Well,
you know, Brother George is so right, right? He comes with the knowledge, and that's what we want to do is continue to share. We have to know who we are. And once we get to that place where you know who you are and you have that confidence, nothing can stop you. Remember I told y'all that. All you have to do is be your best self. All you have to do is be your authentic self, your true, pure, who you were born to be, and the rest will take care of itself. I'm going to the lines. Of course, you know I'm starting off with 9282. 9282, it's on you, brother. Come on. All right, 9282, you there?
Yes, sir, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
May peace be unto you, my brother. How you feeling?
I'm fine, brother. And yourself?
I'm doing well today. I'm doing well. We're doing part two today. I know you brought the Be the One. What you got today?
Yes, sir. I'm going to continue on the characteristics and qualities of the One. The next one, number four, is the One believes in himself. The One believes in himself. The One believes in, well, you know, not only believes, he knows his greatness, his lovingness, his
I like
caringness.
That.
The one knows who he is, okay? He has to be the One, okay? That carries into the next one. The One believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves, you know? The One understands that, which was this one was hard for me at first to understand myself, because you know I was like, I see this, I understand it, I know what done happened to us as a people, it's so obvious to me, and then dealing with us as a people, you know, I kind of got frustrated at first because I was like, how can y'all not see this, and I do. Then I even had some people, my friends, tell me, you special. No, I'm not. I'm no different than any of you. You know, we're the same. We're just alike. I'm from the projects. I'm from the hood. I'm no better than you. But I see this, you know. You want to call it a blessing? No, it's in you too. And I had to learn, okay, understand, they don't see it yet. They don't get it yet. You know, they do a lot of things I disagree with, but I understand their condition. I understand where they are, and that they still don't see themselves as the greatness that's in themselves. But I see it, you know, and I'm gonna continue to tell them about it. I see it. I understand it. I know it's in you. You know, I hated my daddy. I had to learn to love myself. Then when I learned to love myself, I had to find out realize what my daddy went through, and then I had a different understanding of my father. You know, I said, I can't hate my father. How am I going to hate my father and not hate myself? How are you going to be an apple on a tree and hate the roots of the tree and don't hate yourself? You're going to, but I got an understanding of what happened not only to my father, but all of us in this country. And then the last one I'm going to share with you today is, the One always stand for what he knows is right, even if you have to stand alone. You know, you can't stand for righteousness and stand for what is right, but you're not going to do it unless you got people standing with you, because you ain't going to have nobody standing with you most of the time. You're going to have to stand alone. Look at, if you will, Jesus Christ. You're talking about standing alone. According to the story of Jesus Christ, Jesus stood alone. The One, you have to stand for what is right, even if you have to stand alone. And brother, quickly, I'm going to mention, I was watching another one of my rerun movies last night, Dango. You've seen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen Dango, right? Now,
yes, sir.
You know, I'm looking at Dango, and Samuel L. Jackson played that house nigga. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Samuel L. played that house nigga. We need to learn from Samuel L. Jackson's role. We need to learn from the house nigga. We need to get an understanding of what a house nigga really is and how much control the house nigga has over us. See, the house nigga's job was to teach the field niggas how to act, how to get along in master's house, in master's society, in master's country. That was the house nigga's job. Samuel L. The house nigga. And that's part of our problem today as a people. It's really the house niggas that we got to deal with more so than white
people. Uh-oh. All right, brother, I'm going to cut you right there. I'm going to try to see if I can get back to you. Y'all go watch Django and see what you come up with. But I'll try to get back around to you. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Woo. That's pretty good. Right. When again, and for me, it's going back to our authentic selves, right? We have to get to a place where we're really examining ourselves. And like you said, to be the one, you got to stand for something, right? You just do. You got to stand up now, right? You got to develop yourself, and then you got to understand the condition not only that you're in, but that we all are in, right? That we're reacting and responding to situations based on our experiences. No man is an island, and nobody's just coming in here ignorant, right? We have a conditioning that we have to face. We're in a condition. Let's face it. And then let's get better at it. All right, I'm going back to the lines again. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm going to, let's see what the deck looks like. 4692, you're next. 4692 is coming at you. Here we go. Bring it. 4692, are you there?
Well, let's tell you.
4692 going once.
Can you hear me?
Yes. You sound
a
little faded.
I'm going to switch today because I'm kind of in a difficult situation in the car. But I did want to speak to something that caused my ears to tingle. And it had to do with what Brother Chambers was talking about in terms of about the one and trusting and believing in his people. But then when
okay.
I started talking up, can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound really far away, but I can barely grasp you, but I got you.
Okay. Well, what I was saying
okay.
is...
You did it. You got it right there.
Okay. When you started talking about Django, it let me know something. Last evening, I had an opportunity to be in the building where, you know, independent artists were performing. And I listened to what the judges were saying about a hit record. And then I listened to the comments they made about another artist talking about you didn't have any cursing in there, and I could understand every word you said. The words that you were saying were powerful and moving. But the vote went to the hit record. But in the hit record, the focus was on we got everything. We got E, we got weed, we got coke, we got hair. I mean, so the house nigga has turned into the individual who will do the Uncle Tom dance and wear the black face, white face, whatever face they do, so that they can be on the white man's platform, instead of recognizing that people are just continuing to deteriorate our image of self. And so when we start talking about finding ourselves and finding the truth and not leaving our brethren behind, we have got to have the stomach to be able to go through the programming that is deteriorating who we are and whose we are. That's all I got for you.
I like that. Thank you, sister. I like that so much. I tell you why. Because Brother Stan said it best. He said, stop trying to get in and fit in. And see, the string and the carrot is economics. I can dangle that money in front of you and you're going to jump. as high as I say jump and as far as I say jump and as long as I say jump. But when you get that money piece straight, I'm telling you, when you get your economics straight and when you are not lured into behaviors for money, things change. That's why you need an economic agenda. That's why you need the peace program and the peace concept to bring this thing into reality, back into view, so that we can see it crystal, crystal clearly, right? That's what we got to do. That's how this thing works, and that's what we need. And as long as we continue to look at things from that perspective and from that lens, we're going to lose every time. We're going to lose every time. So we're going to have to change our own mindset and our own mentality. But guess what? The only people that can do that is us. We have to do that. All right, I'm going back to the lines again. I'm having a problem with my deck, so I'm going to just go on in now. 8128, you're alive.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine, brother. How are you today?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm great, brother. I was having a conversation with someone else, someone that we both know, concerning education, okay? And it seems like everyone has alluded pretty much to the creativity aspect of us as a people. I think that it is absolutely, right, no accident that most of our children, especially the ones who are at the lower economic level, have the least amount of creative thought, which means that most of them are reading at below their grade level. There's statistics on it, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade level, and a lot of them just cannot read. Okay.
True.
And reading is important to you exploring other things and
that's true.
Actualizing your creative thought processes. And the fact that there are no teaching to exploratory type of thought processes in the lower grade levels, especially in our community, books that allow you to explore possibilities, to activate creative thought in your mind. Those things have been taken out of the school system in our areas anyway. And it was pointed out because the person that I was discussing this with was researching education in terms of how our children learn. They are teaching to the test, not teaching to increase thought processes and to activate the creative thought in the mind. As the brother said, we are the most creative people on this earth. But what have we been lured towards? Sports, which is physical, okay? And going to school to enhance the oppressor's agenda.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like you said, once we get into our own thought processes by knowing who we are, that would activate the creativity to separate us as a unified group from any threat. Because our creativity, as was said earlier, okay, did not have a name on it because it was a natural process. Creative thought is not a natural process. For us, we are more segregated and less equipped, almost to the point of when we got out of slavery. Right now, the unity was there. The purpose for education was there at that time. The purpose for education has been separated from our purpose. So most of our youth who can't read is the product of their parents who can't read.
Who?
Or who have dropped out of school. Or who have devalued education because education in this system has devalued them.
Hmm.
Taking on the oppressor's point of view is our biggest and most prominent issue. Because without that, we would be developing what or reestablishing understanding of who we are, where we came from, what we have been doing for hundreds of thousands of years in Africa. As a matter of fact, I was trying to access a YouTube video that I was sent about this worldwide IQ test or determination that was done by a bunch of sociologists and psychologists, where they discovered that only in Africa is there the ability for creative thought several points of the rest of the world. In other words, for example, the rest of the world only has 6 degrees of intelligence, and Africans have 9.
All right. I got to cut you right there, brother. You can only make 1 or 2 points.
Okay.
You can't make all of them because we got other people to get
right,
you.
Okay,
but I appreciate
you,
that. Come back to me,
and
we can get the rest of it. But I got to get to the next person on the line. I appreciate it, though, brother. Great points. Great
no
points.
Problem. Creativity.
All right. All right. He got that. Creativity is the key. All right. I'm going over to 0946. 0946, if you ready, it's on you. Come on.
Bring it. What?
0946, what's happening?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey.
I was listening to the caller before and just wanted to piggyback on that a little bit, and that we are moving into a more complex society, and when we talk about power, we've also got to understand that to be able to do something with that power, you have to be able to participate. And the illiteracy rates are just dismal in the Black community. You literally have fourth graders that 16% of Black children are 18% of Black children are proficient on the fourth grade level. On the eighth grade level, only 16% are proficient. And consciousness is good, but consciousness is not going to feed you. African-American history and African-American literature, if the children, if the young adults can't read the information, that's not doing us any good. So one of the things that I'm interested in is that there's not been much study on, is there any correlation that if you give children, Black children, African-American or Black literature, is going to improve their wanting to read or improve their reading skills more and that sort of thing. And so there's no correlation that proves that if you immerse Black children with Black literature that it's improving their illiteracy rates or improving their reading skills. So I think that the entertainment and in basketball and sports is one of those arenas where you don't have to have very high literacy skills to be able to participate. And so I just wanted to end with that. We end up preaching to the choir, but what's happening is these kids are graduating from high school and they're not competitive. They cannot get out in the workforce and compete, and so the streets are waiting for them. And so I think that it's one of the things that we understood once we were set free, that if we didn't learn how to read and write, we were not going to be able to participate in the system. And there's almost this regression where we're going back to that is creating this permanent underclass because the illiteracy is so bad. So I think consciousness is great. I think understanding Kwanzaa is great and all that. But all of these concepts and new ideas, if people can't read, they can't be exposed to them. So I just think that it's like we say, there's many many levels. It's not just a one or either or, it's an and. But I do see illiteracy as being a very, very powerful level of disengagement from a system. You talk about the peace concept, economics, politics. You know, if you can't read, you can't participate in those particular
True.
Areas, and you don't have the higher order thinking skills, critical thinking skills, analytical abilities, none of that, to be able to have a conversation or even engage in a thought process to get in a solution mode. So I just wanted to throw that in, that I think that that's a crime that our children, that fourth graders in this country that are black, are only 18% are reading on level. That's an injustice that is unreal, and I'm amazed at how much attention is not being placed on that. So that's all I'd like to add. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sister. I appreciate you, and welcome back to the show. All right. So think about this, right? Why we can't read? Now, some of y'all going to say, well, it ain't all of us that can't read, but if some of us can't read, then probably it looks like none of us can read. We have to have a higher emphasis on literacy, right? Early learning is the key. You could throw a whole bunch of books in front of kids with black babies on them, but if you don't teach them the fundamentals of reading, it really don't matter. Right? That means parents got to get out books and read to their kids, and they got to set the structure and put it in place and take it all the way through until they're prepared to go. That's how we got to do it. All right, I'm going back to the line. Thanks, sister. I am going back to, I'm going over to 1622. You're next. 1622 coming up live. You ready? Get set. Go.
Bring it.
1622, you're live. 1622, going once. All right, I'm sliding on over to 3376. 3376, coming to you live. 3376, going once. Going twice. 0673. You got anything for me?
Oh, you said what? You said 0673?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, brother, just a Kevlar.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm fine. There's a chameleon without, and a chameleon within. Understand the chameleon within will help us navigate in the chameleon without. And there are numerous members in this chameleon, but for the sake of time, I'm going to talk about one. That's your instinct or your drive.
All right.
You are not taught this. You are born with this. You drive towards that which brings pleasure, such as food.
Hmm.
You drive away from that which brings harm, such as cuts, burns, a reminder of a traumatic experience, such as a cross burning on your lawn. You instinctively know what to do. Now, you drive towards something that brings pleasure. You drive away from something that brings harm. But the goal of your drive is learned behavior. I repeat that. The goal of the drive is learned behavior. And I'm going to use an example.
My
brother
that.
Told me he wanted to be in a fraternity. He was online. He said he told everybody to open their mouth. The guy got towards him and said, you got some nice teeth. And he hawked in his mouth, spit right dead in his mouth. I grew up in the hood. I knew instinctively what you're supposed to do. Instinctively. You pulled the whip in. I asked him, I said, what did you do? He said, I took it like a man. So what you instinctively were supposed to do, you ignored that. He took it like a man because he wanted to be a frat brother. He wanted to be a Greek fraternity. He wanted to be a part of Western cultural value system. And Steve Coker gave another example. He said, how many of y'all love Africa? How many of y'all believe we should have our own economic system? How many of y'all believe we should have our own schools? Everybody was screaming and hollering like we're in church. He He said, bring a frat brother up here, right? He said, do you love Africa? Brother said, I love Africa. Think we should have our own schools? I think we should have our own schools. You think we should have our own business? I think we should have our own business. He said, give me a handshake, y'all do. And the brother walked away. And Steve said, I wasn't trying to put the brother on the spot. I'm trying to get you to understand what we're up against. His drive was not towards us as a people developing something for ourselves. His drive was towards preserving the Western institution. And that's what we're up against. So next segment, I'll talk about other members of the community, but I'll, for time's sake, I'm just going to leave it there.
All right.
I'll let you go
on
with the next question.
Thank you, brother. That was a powerful piece. Powerful piece. We're going to have to understand some things. We are, right? Just a commitment to ourselves. Thank you for that piece, brother. I think we're going to have to do it. But it's going to be up to us to do the work. We're going to have to look at ourselves. You're going to have to look at yourself at the end of the day. All right, I'm going over to 9266. 9266, you're on. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
9266, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes. Welcome to the show.
Hey, okay. Thank you. I'm going in and out because I'm driving. But
okay.
We were talking about the literacy piece a little bit earlier. And so one thing I noticed when my daughter went to college, one thing they did not do before, they're doing a lot more placement tests, because they're starting to find that it's not just the black kids, but it's all of the kids now are having issues. They can't even write complete sentences. So they're actually having them do math, English, and some other placement tests to find out if they need prerequisites just to take a class. So it's almost like when the kids say they want to go to college, they actually have to give them more high school education before they can even start their college course. So it's not just the black kids that are doing that now. Someone mentioned that they're teaching the kids just to test, and they are. You know, that's the issue my daughter had when she was in school. She raised her hand and said, "I have an issue. I don't understand." They said, "Well, I'm sorry. We can't help you because we need to move on. You know, our job tells us now we can't help you anymore. We just have to teach you well enough so we can get funding for our school." So it's I'm not going to necessarily say it's the parents, because even when we were growing up, you know, our parents didn't know any of the work that we were doing either. They couldn't really help us with the work. So even now, when the parents try to help the students, we can't, because we still don't know. We don't know the work that they're doing now. They didn't change math on us. So, you know, they do this special kind of math and stuff, so we can't help them. But I think it's the school systems that are actually changing that is making our kids uneducated. They're supposed to be educating them, and they're really uneducated. Because they're not teaching them. They're just telling them, you know, this is ABCD, so when you test, make sure you just put ABCD so we can get through this and get on out of here. And that's what they're teaching them now. And so that's where part of the literacy issues are coming in. Stuff like that, kids don't have books anymore either. You know, and even in the poor areas, they don't have textbooks at all. Or they're very outdated textbooks. Even the city of Richmond was teaching outdated SOL, SOL curriculum, and they're not fixing it. It's just, you know, it's just the whole thing has failed us.
Well, thank you, sister. I think, again, it's up to us at the end of the day, right? No one is responsible for your education more than you. Parents, if you don't know how to do something, there are so many resources out here to help you get your kids straight. Even if you don't know, figure out a way. There are tutors. There's all kind of stuff online. But guess what? It's your job to get it done. I'm going to try one more time to go over to 1683. 1683, I'm going to try you one time. I got about 4 minutes left. I want to get one more in. 1683, here you go. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
1683, are you there?
Yes, sir, brother. I'm here, but I'm on the road. I'm in the comments. I just want
all right.
to piggyback on what the brothers and sisters are saying when we talk about education and so forth. First, you have to realize we're not educated. We train. You know, we're trained to perform certain tasks. You know? Can you hear me, brother?
All right, you're going in and out.
Yeah, I hear
so
you.
So go ahead.
I hear the beat. Yes, sir.
Okay,
I'm
I can hear you.
Understand. Okay, I'm saying we're trained and we're not educated. There's a difference.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But we have to understand, like the brother was saying earlier, we married to this system. It's ingrained in us. It's like Brother George was saying earlier, this system is taking our old DNA. You know, we trying to come up with ways to make the system better and saying that we're making ourselves better. No, but we're making the system better. We're hooked on the money. We're hooked on the economic system. We're hooked. That's all we know. Like the brother said that they asked the guy about, do you want to have a new system? I believe what he said. I caught the tail end of the whatever. So we married to the Western system in which we now live. We cannot think independently of it. From it, we're not creating something for ourselves and from ourselves. We're trying to redefine what his creation is and cut a path in his creation so we can be better at it. But his creation not set up for us to succeed. We're hooked on it. You got to have a job, you're hooked on the system. You need the money. You got to pay your light bill. That's the system. His power plants. You got to have water to drink. It should be free. That's the system. Here's water. He paid. You got to get a job to pay him to have damn water to drink. We're hooked on the system, and we can't think independently of it to be creative and create our own system, our own economic structure, our own political system, you want to call it political system, independent of the white man. We can't do that right now because our mind's not there. We've got to be the one. We've got to really rediscover ourselves and define our system, create our system, not rehabilitate or revitalize his. Wrong approach.
All right. That's all I can give you today, brother. I got to cut you there because we're getting short. But thank you so much, and thank each of you for calling in, right, for your points of view matter. It really does. But whatever you do, look after yourself. Focus on you and your family and improve it, right? I'll say this. If you live here, you got to figure it out one way or the other, right? But let's figure it out together. Let's work on ourselves. Let's continue to improve ourselves. Let's work in the areas that we know we can get something done in. That's all of them, really. You have the gift. You got the talent. You have the ability. You got the mindset. You got it all. All you have to do is activate the power. The power is within you. And it is 365 days of African-American empowerment and personal development right here. Come back and join us next week. Share this show with one of your friends, right, or family members. And whatever you do, become the best person that you could be today and every day. I'll talk to y'all next week. And until such time, become the best. Become the one. How about that? Peace.